Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
My name is Aram. Welcome back to God's Fall. God's Fall is a custom Dungeons & Dragons game that is played and recorded in Washington, D.C. and written and produced in Chicago.
Hi, my name is Steven. I'm playing the 5th level Dwarf Paladin, Torvik Wildtongue.
My name is Doug, and I'm playing Doro Not, the 5th level Halfling Rogue.
Hi, my name is Michael. I'm playing Zion Preeton, the 5th level Human Sorcerer.
Hi, my name is Kelly, and I'm playing Rena Falavel, a 5th level Wild Elf Ranger.
Previously on God's Fall.
Doro had been blinded when the arisen god of order, Cyril Advantis, used his power over flesh to remove the halfling's eyes.
You're gonna regret this.
No, not this time, my little friend. And he forces the gag back into your mouth. And this time we will not make the same mistake we made with your friend's unfortunate brother. As Rena, Queen Cyrena, and her bodyguard Joshua fought off Tiago Reese and the rest of Cyril's goons, Caitlin realizes Doro is in trouble and displays a new ability. The power to manifest the nightmares and dreams of others. As she touched the sleeping owlbear cublet, she summoned a pair of invisible monsters to stop the wagon carrying her halfling friend. The other horse screams and flails as huge slash marks suddenly appear in its neck and abdomen. Blood and entrails gush from the wounds as its neck is violently snapped back, silencing the poor beast as it hangs limp between the jaws of some massive, unseen monstrosity. Caitlin lets out a soft gasp as she and the horse drop to the ground simultaneously. Barely getting away, the players tended to their wounds and hid in the first friendly place they could find, which just happened to be Uncle Dobos's herb yacht.
Doro!
What?
And Uncle Dobos is in front of you.
You again? I'm fine. Get off me.
Meanwhile, Zion, Torvik, Para, Oinkers, and the arisen god of peace, Uragon, found the seeker stones they had been hunting and decided to rest in the swamp instead of risking being seen back in town. But not all the party was comfortable with roughing it.
Oinkers! Oinkers, wake up! Rah, rah. It's our turn to watch.
And Oinkers, like, you know, rah, rah, and then it's like, is faced with an alligator and like, and freaks out and like, scuttles backwards.
It's fine, it's fine.
Then, he's our boom, friend. She's like a larger alligator and
roar! Oinkers, calm the
other
fuck
alligator
down.
Roars and everyone wakes up.
A pink alligator.
Yep. Yep. So there's two roaring alligators, which wakes up everybody.
All right, I scream.
Yeah.
Right. Calm down! Para everyone
wakes up and
down.
Screams. And
two, I hate the outside! Huge, I hate it!
There's two huge bolts of fire into the air, and the whole area lights up, and your alligator goes sprinting back into the marsh. He's just gone. He's like, fuck this!
All right, well.
What do you guys want to do? Why are you even asking me?
I'm asking you because you have agency. You're also a godling. I'm not trying to force you to do anything you don't want to do. I just want to make sure that we're on the same page.
Where is this all of a sudden coming from? Usually you're the one going, let's do this, let's do that, let's do this.
Well, I have opinions, yes, and sometimes a bit of a loudmouth.
You are kind of bossy.
Yeah.
But it's okay, babe. I love that about you.
Oh, it's so cute.
But I want to be a little bit more democratic here. You know, I mean, good Lord. And by Lord, I mean me.
Zion.
Zion. God of Force.
Zion, damn it.
I think Squish
Zion,
is right.
Zion, damn it.
I do think Squish is right.
All right,
I think we should find out what happened.
All right, well, then let's go out of that.
All right, let's go find Urga. Urga.
Okay, you guys mount up. By the way, this is the first time you've been near this close to the Agranta and not and been able just to, like, focus on them. Like, you knew of the Agranta, but you'd never actually seen them up close. And they are basically elephant-sized boars that act like elephants. They're herd animals, and they tend to be very family-oriented. And so you're just next to these guys. There's an interesting energy being this close to such large creatures. And you also notice that you're able just to keep them all real calm. Between you and Uragot, they are all lined up and ready to go, no problems whatsoever, and then take off as if, like, a spark hit all of them at once, and they all start marching at once. At this point, the orcs are all pretty wild with you. Like, the entire time you're going
right,
about
we saved
this,
their fucking village.
Yeah, whatever. Whenever, like, they run up and talk to Uragon, they're also kind of like, you know, like there's always a sense of awe. People are kind of getting out of your way. People are moving. The orcs, you know, not, you know, normally people who would be very physically challenging, it seems like all of them are just, like, a little bowed when they go by you. They're not bowing, but just, right, you know, they're just...
They don't want to get in a fight with us, obviously.
No, it's more than that. It's kind of a reverence that's happening here. Yeah, it's not that they're afraid. Mm-hmm. It's that they're awed. That's
you.
What's going on.
I like that.
Yeah. We'll turn it to worship. It's great.
Yeah, I know.
It's getting close.
We're going to get there. We're going to get there.
I'm
going to
break
the
off and go, because it's all civilians, and then there's, like, probably a warrior camp. Mm-hmm. As well.
Sure.
I'm going to break off and just hang with the warrior camp.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're, like, all marching and all that. Yeah, totally. Just, and Oinkers is, like, beside you. Yeah. And, like, they're on, like, these big, huge, you know, a couple of them are on large wolves. So they not quite dire wolves, but large wolves from these swamps. And they kind of snarl. And Oinkers looks back. And Oinkers turns into a pink wolf and, like, jams her head underneath yours. And so now
so
you're
I'm
like
riding,
and she just, rawr, she just snarls back at it, right? And you're riding along with the cavalry.
She's got a dominance problem.
She does not like
it's a dominance complex.
Oinkers does not like being a challenge in any way whatsoever. All right, so and nothing is going to fuck with this caravan. You guys ride.
Yeah, we're a whole civilization
for the next several hours,
unless they have an army.
Well into the middle of the day. It is a hot, sweltering day today. It is a clear of sky, but it is muggy and humid. There's bugs and everything. You don't stop marching the entire time, so you're passing water flasks down the line and things like that. But everyone moves at a good rate. For centuries, the orcs of the south controlled the rolling coasts, wooded marshlands and rocky arid plains that formed the southern foot of Wessel, as it met the towering onyx coal spine mountains. They lived here in relative harmony, living mostly off the land and close shore as expert hunters, fishermen, and farmers. Their natural strength and endurance allowed their society to reap a bounty of produce that they eagerly exchanged with their northern brethren for coin and barter. With no elves to watch over the swamp-choked forest, the orcs became their guardians, and while under their canopy hunted with thought and care. Despite this, they were scapegoat for every misfortune to befall the southern cities of Wessel. If wolves killed a few sheep, it was under the order of the orcs. And if a child fell suddenly ill, it was because an orc shaman had poisoned the child's spirit. The shores along the south of the Western Calm were some of the richest in the entire kingdom. And the orcs were capable of fishing far longer and deeper than their human counterparts could ever hope to match. Jealousy drove distrust and outright xenophobia throughout much of the south. When Kadar invaded Wessel during the last Great War, they embarked on a program of nationalistic fervor and swept through the south.
In every orc village they came across, the men, women, children, and even their livestock were methodically slaughtered. Their buildings and fields burned, and their places of worship leveled stone by stone. Those that survived were driven south and broke into two societies. The first called themselves Clan Deathhammer, who stood with their backs to the Coalspine and would run no more, vowing to slaughter any non-orc who emerged from the Mistwood. The second were those who were wary of bloodshed and wished simply to return to the quiet, proud life they once enjoyed. They walked on, eventually settling in the eastern sandhills near the wide bay that fed the Tranquil Pass and split Wessel from Brennus.
The way that Deathhammer's clan is set up is that so.
You're fucked. He's going into exact detail of the environment.
No. That's look. It. Flat Rock is here.
Yep.
Okay, and Deathhammer is way over here.
I thought so they were down the.
So that's like a 2-day walk.
That's actually going to be a 2-day walk. So let's. But it's right. Fine because
we camp somewhere. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
So you guys basically come back up to that river where you were battling the fire, and everything is blackened and awful, frankly. I mean, it's just death everywhere. As you're getting into the sand hills now, what was a scrub brush is, again, just blackened hills all the way. You break a camp. You're camping right next to the river that does cross into the mountains.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I will take out my spyglass.
Yeah.
And I'm going to look down that river as far as I can see.
Okay.
And then teleport, right?
It very, very quickly vanishes because the crags of the mountain, and as soon as it basically hits the edge of the mountain, it's just gone from your sight. It winds around a bend and is gone.
Interesting. I plant a flag.
All right. Obviously, the night goes well. You all break camp in the morning. You head on down, and on the next day, you finally arrive at Clan Deathhammer. They are, again, pressed up right against these mountains, right in the middle of a large amount of hills that, until recently, were covered with a lot of underbrush.
Let me get an idea of how many orcs we have. Is it 1,000, 10,000?
No, I would say there's 100.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 100 orcs.
No.
Yeah.
10,000.
No, they can't do 10,000. First of all, there's only 10,000 of them in Clan Flat Rock.
So these are mostly warriors, then, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean,
warriors
also,
and healers.
A lot of them were injured. They were exhausted. I mean, they pulled together the forces they could pull together to get this done.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and you know that Clan Deathhammer had about 20,000. Okay. So
we're fucked.
As you continue toward the looming edge of the Coalspine, a sheer cliff of onyx that stretched for miles overhead, you enter Deathhammer territory and are met by no patrols and no guards. Towers, embattlements, and other fortifications orcs from Flat Rock will attest to existing weeks before are simply gone, leaving only blackened scars in their wake. As you approach the city, you see her clay walls burned and shattered, crumbling completely in places, leaving the city beyond laid bare. Acrid smoke hangs low across the entirety of it as a handful of survivors dig through the burning piles. And that's pretty much all you see as you're pulling up.
Okay. I clasp my staff.
Okay.
And I move the spell focus orb to my lips and I kiss it.
Yes.
As energy emits from my fingertips
along
the staff into the spell focus orb,
My
eyes flash with power, and I cast tongues.
Okay, and all the orcs run away. Everyone who could see that runs and hides.
There's no need to fear, I say in orcish.
Okay, they're gone. They all ran away. They're very, very scared. They ran away from you. However,
why would you not lead with a guy that makes everyone happy?
However, saying that, one orc does kind of step out, and the side of his face is burned. He's got a bunch of bandages wrapped around it, and he's limping a bit. But he's listening, and you see a couple other heads pop out at the same time. Uragon has now come up behind you. And as his arms spread wide, and you can feel a wave of calm and peace, crash through you and out. So clearly he's doing his little mojo too.
In Orcish, I say, we're here to help you.
Okay.
Who needs healing?
And I walk forward. Yep. Ahead of everyone toward that, the first guy that we see.
Okay, well, the dwarf isn't the first thing they want to see, so they most of them kind of, you know, shrink back from you. But one young girl who is, you know, badly burned, steps forward, clutching her side and weeping.
And I just outstretch my hand to hers.
Awesome. Do you want to do, like, 1 point? To, you
know, no, I
mean?
Want to full okay. drop everything.
So, boom, and she is healed. And at this point, more are coming out. People are, you know, the orcs are getting off their wagons and starting to disperse aid. People are lining up, and there's a large operation getting started.
Mm-hmm. So then the healers amongst us.
I'm useless now. I've used all my healing for that girl.
Okay, Para. Oh, dear Lord. Hang
you
on.
You can't heal everybody, but you can heal the worst.
Yeah, well yeah.
You do first aid. Like, yeah. Like, yeah. Advanced first aid.
From what you've learned.
Right, so Para kind of kneels, and he pulls his hands up, and he forms a little column of blue aflame, and he's like, it's okay, and they catch him. It's, no, it's all right, And they get near it, they can see, like, it doesn't hurt.
He says, it's all right.
Right, yeah, exactly. No. Urgon's right there with him.
Screaming at them.
Yeah, no. Urgon's right there with him, helping out. And then he just kind of rolls his blue flame over people, and he's able to heal dozens. He just starts working through the most, afflicted, and he's able to keep healing and keep healing and keep healing. So he just keeps going while the others are dispersing aid, digging through rubble, pulling people out of it. All this is happening all around you.
Well, we'll wait till people are fully healed or whatever, and then.
Well, I mean, this could be a long operation. Right, it's a whole city.
Yeah, yeah.
So while this is happening, I assume you're going to start gathering information.
Right. Well, so I mean, amongst. To that little girl who was bravest and willing to walk up to Torvik.
Okay, right. All right, fair enough.
Torvik, she seemed to trust you. Maybe you could ask her what happened here.
I don't speak Orcish.
Oh, that's true.
You can translate.
You do.
You can translate.
I guess it's me.
Yeah, I mean, let's say the spell's still active, so go ahead, yeah.
So I say to the little girl, what happened here? What's your name?
Ha! Amy! Unprepared.
Amy! No, Amy the Orc!
Amy.
No,
Amy the Orc!
No, there's no
Amy. What happened?
Akmiari. There's no Amy the Orc.
I'm just trying to calm her down. You know, it's the first thing
I know.
She's calm. I've already turned. I mean, Oikers is.
Like, just general courtesy, though.
Yeah.
You don't just, like, walk into some stranger and be like,
She Orc! Tell me!
Amy, what happened?
Loka. I like that. Her name is Loka.
All right. Okay. Amy.
All right,
Amy.
not Amy. Loka.
Well, I say Amy, but in tongues it sounds Loka.
Sure. right. The English translation is Amy. Fine.
Right.
The common.
Right.
It's common for insane. Amy.
All right. Loka, what happened here?
There was just things. They were dead things. And they were attacking everyone. And there was a woman. She was in the middle of it.
Did you know this woman?
No.
She's not from your clan.
Well, I mean, she didn't know every single person. There's 20,000 people.
Right.
Because we all know each other.
But, okay, here's what I'm meta asking.
Was it one of us?
If she was like, I am now your leader, she would know that's Barack Obama. You know,
right.
Like,
no, I mean, so, there was no, I mean, she didn't see her giving a speech. She just saw, you know, people being torn apart by zombies. That's all that she saw. You know, so maybe she doesn't know, but someone else.
I mean, that's terrible.
Roll me a gather information roll. Do that.
Which is?
Fuck, there's no gather information.
Investigation.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So I need a dice tower.
19.
Okay. So you talk to her for a while. You talk to a couple other people, and you begin to piece together the story of what happened. The survivors all tell the same story. So this is what you were able to gather. A young female orc named Mortha.
Mortha.
Yep.
M-O-R-T-H-A?
M-O-R-T-H-A. The day before. Okay.
Mortha Stugard. And Stugard is separated by an apostrophe.
This is a terrible table setting.
We have Mortha Stugard. We show you table settings.
This is not such a good thing.
This is not a good thing.
So everybody in your notes, add to God list Mortha.
Yeah. Mortha. So,
God of death.
So yesterday, a young female orc named Mortha stopped in the middle of an open market
laughed and fell to the ground. Upon inspection, she appeared dead, her body as cold and stiff as if she had passed away days before. She arose a day later as her body was being washed and wrapped for cremation, slaughtering the four shamans that tried to restrain her, then raising their corpses as the generals of her undead legion. Took to the streets, continuing her slaughter, adding each fresh body to her growing army of the dead. By the time the city was aware of the threat and could organize a response, hundreds of her zombies were tearing through the heart of the clan's home, ripping apart all who stood against them and lighting fire to everything else. As the city descended into anarchy, the fire spread rapidly. The last any saw of Morthra and her at that point, thousand-strong army of the undead. They were heading north towards Thornhill. Now, Thornhill, as you guys have a general idea of the area at this point, and you all have heard of Thornhill. Thornhill was the very last fort established to the south. There were a couple of forts established here.
I took geography.
So you know that the orcs have always been a problem down here to the south. So the dwarves established a fort here, and the humans established a fort here. And they have been watching jointly this area to make sure that Clan Deathhammer isn't surging up through it. Well, they're heading towards, Thornhill. And you also know that there is a navy at Thornhill. There's a small contingent of ships, usually a trio of ships at Thornhill. So they kind of patrol that coast because there's pirates down in Black Fang Bay. So they're kind of on the watch for them, but they're also on the watch for the orcs coming up from the south. Mm. Hasn't been much trouble from them in well over a decade, so.
Well, they're not bothering our friend orcs. So, you know, fuck you, humans.
Yeah, really?
Time to go to Port Bliss.
Yeah? Well, I'm kidding.
Enough. These are things that go through my head.
Right, okay.
I don't say them out loud.
No, fair enough.
Inside voices.
Yes.
So, as all these people are being healed, I turn to Urgant and I say, thank you very much for all that you've done for us. Now I think it's time for you to take care of your people. Join them into one clan.
We shall do the best we can. It has always been my goal.
And you know, in 1 year's time, we will need your help to fight the God of Chaos.
In 1 year's time, the pact shall be made.
He extends his arm, and he does the orc thing where he shakes your arm by, like, grasping you up the mid-forearm. Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly.
Breaking
your
bone.
Raw. Yes. Yeah.
There is an oath made,
yes,
sir.
Exactly. Yes. There's an oath made. No, he agrees. There's an oath made. Mm-hmm.
Your people have suffered much and need to rest and repair themselves. And you can do more than anyone else to lead them and prepare them for what must come.
I agree.
We will be your army and march north to face this death in a way that your people could only suffer from. If you were to march with us, they simply become more weapons of this god of death to rise.
I also agree. We shall tend to who have been wounded here and rebuild. Go on, call for me if needed.
There was one other thing.
Yes.
I have come to learn that we become more powerful when people believe in us.
I have felt this.
And he goes on to explain that his powers have been manifesting over like the past half a year. And his people, much more tribal, much more, you know, they really never let go of their beliefs despite the fact that the gods had died. They still followed a lot of them. So as soon as Uragan kind of rose like this, the people began to turn inward. And the reason why he's been so damn effective is because they are worshiping him, or at least they're starting to worship him or see him as elevated beyond them, and he feels that energy. There's something he's gathering from his people. He's stronger for them.
We will need this energy in order to fight the God of Chaos. So I ask you to help us. If we were to speak, perhaps even if you were to speak before your people, with the rest of us on a hill somewhere, could we then ask them to all, for their own benefit, pray to us every night in hopes that with our power, our combined power, we can perhaps take on this God of Chaos and save your people.
I will speak with them. I will see what I can do. There are not many among my kind who enjoy the idea of praying for those outside us. However, they have seen what you all can do and what you have done for us.
I am no more human than you are at this point. You are no more orc than you think you were.
He laughs, but it's like a wry laugh. He sees your point, right?
At this point, our charge is to save all sentient creatures from the possibility of ultimate destruction.
We agree with this plan. We agree with this goal. I shall do what I can. Send for us if you need us.
And then I write down.
500 followers gained.
Bing.
And thus here is the litany. Pray to Doro, god of travel.
Wait. They're going to pray in their own way. They may pray to you guys. But no.
I'm telling them who to pray to.
Oh, yo.
Because they don't even know fucking Doro.
Should we write in some sort of like stone
tablets?
That's
not something they're going to be able to do then. I mean, they can pray to the ones they've seen. They can pray to the ones they've known. He can work that, but
how many times have anybody seen God? Never. And they pray to that guy.
I turn into a bunny burning bush.
This is a big ask to begin with. Mm-hmm. What he thinks he can do is get him to pray to you guys because they've seen you guys act and they've seen you guys as gods. But getting him to pray this theoretical halfling halfway across the way.
Persuasion. 18 yeah. plus 2. 20.
Maybe, no, it just, I mean, you guys, yes. I mean, look, Urgot agrees with you. He's not, you don't need to persuade him. Mm-hmm. He's just saying he's not going to be able to sell that, is all he's saying. He's not,
gotcha.
I mean, he'll try, but he's a better, it's a much.
It would be a much easier task if we just talked about who exactly was here.
You know, he's like trying to lay it out for you. These people are pretty simple. See it, respect it, you know.
Well, then know us. I am Zion, god of force. This is Para, god of the sun.
Hi.
And this is...
Totally does that.
And yep. This is Torvik, god of beasts.
Me, Oinkers, and the little girl just playing around, rolling in the mud.
The little girl? Oh, right.
Yeah, the little orc girl.
Right, exactly. It was like...
Or she's turned...
Noted.
Oinkers has turned into like this little version of the the boars that they ride. The, or
yes.
The wolves yes. they ride.
Oinkers,
a little baby grunt,
tusks and everything, yeah. And like little baby tusks.
Little kids riding around on it.
Oh, yeah, just in circles, running around you, totally.
And this is Oinkers, avatar of the god.
And Oinkers just kind of stops and does like a little Oinkers curtsy and then continues to run around.
We shall be your champions as best as we can and do everything that we can to help you and your people. I will see you in a year.
We appreciate this. We shall see you in a year.
He goes back to helping his people. And you guys head north? From where you are in Deathhammer to Mistwood is going to be about 3 days.
As dawn breaks. By the way, I've turned into a Granta.
Perfect.
I'm amazed by the creature, and I'm leading the pack as a Granta.
Excellent.
So I love that.
You're being led by a giant Granta.
Hopefully, Johnson's Grantas can see well because I know it's not.
And Oinkers is the baby Granta running along beside you.
Yeah, I mean, we have a high perception.
Yeah. This, but, I mean,
19.
Well, nothing's going to fuck with you because there's two fucking Grantas running around. So even if there was something to see, no one's going to bother you. So you guys get to your first campsite and you make really good time. Grantas are very sturdy animals. They can run for quite some time. So easy. You guys make really good pace.
Okay.
You break camp.
Well, when we get to camp, I say, Para, I know our last training was a little...
Intense.
Yeah.
Well... I'd like us to try something else that I think will be a little easier for both of us.
Okay.
Call the fire.
No, I've seen you in
like
your
construct.
I've seen you in your greatest form be able to control not only fire, but light.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't have a lot of control, but yeah.
We should focus on that. Focus on the positive emotions.
Okay.
Focus on love and happiness and joy. And find the light and spread it out.
Okay.
And then he turns to you and he just puts his arms around your neck and buries his face in yours in a hug and holds you really, really tight to him. And then you can feel him grow very warm. Yeah. And there's like an energy prickling all around you. right? And you just, and then it just grows bright and daylight begins to like grow from in between.
Because this is like dusk when we're doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. And this daylight begins to grow, just grow in a small ball out from you guys and out to about, I'd say 60 feet around him, and just a perfect ball of light. And as he leans back, he can like kind of guide it like around you. Like there's no real point where it's starting from, but he can have it grow out, he can have it grow in. You know, it's about 100 feet away, maybe about 100 feet up, and he seems to have pretty good control over that.
See, Sparks? I knew you had it in you.
Thanks, Squish.
You know, people might be looking for us. A 60-foot...
Oh, right, Rome.
Said the Bronta from the front of the thing.
Right.
A 60-foot column of light is probably not the ideal way to
Nobody's
hide.
Looking for us. We're in the middle of nowhere.
It was a sphere of light.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
We're in the middle of nowhere.
There's too much fucking light.
So what could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong?
In fact, does anyone...
Everyone roll initiative.
I wonder if anyone sees this giant ball of light. Maybe.
Hmm. Well, if they do, fuck them.
All right, so.
That's the Duro not lying.
I'm the one that's going to get his ass kicked while you guys are around flowing in force and fire.
So do you guys take watch then and go to
yes,
bed?
Yes, it's time right. for watch. So at this point, it's just Oinkers, Torvik, me, and Perrin.
Correct.
And the wagon.
And the wagon.
Yep.
And two horses.
As you guys are talking about watch, Oinkers trots on over and then turns into an eagle and perches up on your shoulder, kind of headbutts you and gestures towards the sky like, you know, she's got this.
All right, I guess we got first watch.
All right, and then Oinkers takes off.
Go to sleep.
I'm going to reach out to the animals around.
It's pretty quiet. Bunch of frogs, bunch of deer.
Yeah. Frogs and deer.
Yeah, you know. Frogs, deer.
Well,
a bunch of snakes. You know. No, at least they would be deer.
Frogs, yeah, what is it? What are
you
is
guys
the,
are? It's still, it was like you guys sand are hill, in yeah. hills still, but it's getting to a much scrubbier hill, and you're getting towards the edge of the southern wetlands. So it's
okay.
Wetter and lusher. You've gotten out finally of the burned area. The fire didn't get this far out, so it's like really kind of like mossy or thickly viney covered hills everywhere, with the peaks kind of breaking out into just. Gold, you know, just grassy mounds.
I'm just going to spend the time just communicating with the animals.
Yeah, they're all pretty chill.
Seeing how everyone's doing.
Yeah, kinda, good, any, good. Any, how's any... you? Big fire, huh?
Yeah, oh, that sucked, Phil.
And yet the animals have
well, no,
names.
But maybe the animals saw, like, an army of dead things marching through here.
Oh, yeah, we saw that. Oh, yeah, there's a whole bunch of zombies and crap. Yeah, hey, Tom. Oh, yeah, that was sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, they all went, well,
they
don't
know where they're going. Just making sure that they
don't turn. They all went Ferblov, which is their word for north. That's how the animals say north.
Or cross the sun, that way.
And yet they say everything else.
Right. Everything else is exactly the same.
They just made up a word for this one word. Yeah, they're like, that north bullshit. We ain't saying that.
They all understand Blasmos and everything else.
Yeah, they also say west, east, and south, but for some reason.
Ferblof is their north.
It's where the compass works.
Yeah.
So I'm not gaining any pertinent information.
No, they went to where you thought they were going. They made a beeline for that tower.
Okay.
I have a game question.
Yeah, sure.
Clerics, do they need 8 hours to regain their spells?
Okay. Yes, they do. Although, Perrin didn't cast any spells.
That's true.
He healed the never shit really cast.
It was that blue fire.
Perrin never really cast spells. Okay, so here's how Perrin works. Perrin is the god of the sun. And as such, he works like a very powerful solar energy plant. So just imagine him able to absorb sunlight as energy. And when he stands in sunlight, he can use that solar energy to empower his own magics and divinity. As he walked among the orcs, Perrin converted that sunlight into healing magics, but the only effort he expended was in keeping his flames from causing pain. He is actually able to cast any first-level spell without expending a slot as long as he is in direct sunlight.
Watch goes fine.
Everything's fine. You guys break camp in the morning and head out again. The hills begin to break away as you cross. You can see to the east the vast boiling swamp of the southern wetlands, and you're very, very glad that you are going around it. And the brown and the ground breaks open. There are a set. No, I'm sorry. The ground. Sorry.
Sorry. That sucks. Sorry.
For miles. The land opens up into sandy plains. And there are broken towers to your left as you're heading up. There are ruins that I have not named on this map. So the ruins have a map.
But not recently broken.
No, these are very, very, very old ruins. These are ruins way before the God's War ruins. In fact, they don't even have a name. The name has been lost throughout time. A couple of the locals, you know, give them names. But there's basically...
No, it was the best for Wessel.
I've played Skyrim. I've read about all this. We need to explore those ruins.
There is a series of 7 broken towers that are like half buried within... the sand, but
ding, ding, ding.
You know, but pretty much
Aram didn't know this, but I bet there's some fucking buried treasure there.
Hell yeah.
Pretty much, I'm just saying that they're pretty much
younger. Sounds like treasure.
Sounds like treasure to me.
7 of them? Do they all look the same?
Well, no, they're in various stages of brokenness. Some are just like a circle of stone in the ground.
Oh, they're in a shape too. What's in the middle?
Yeah, okay, so this is where we're going to set up camp for the second night. And,
you're 2 hours into your next day and you're coming across them.
I don't care. I'm going to investigate.
Okay. All right. So you guys are going to go stop your rescue mission to investigate these ruins?
They're already dead.
That's probably true.
I mean, they were 2 days ahead of us.
Yeah.
They're all dead.
All right. Fair enough. All right. So what are you doing?
I want to look in this, the tower for, ancient...
What's the stone made out of?
Okay. Fair enough. I roll an investigation as well.
16.
All right.
What are we rolling?
Investigation. I'm not saying spend all day, but like a couple
15.
Hours.
15.
Sure. Okay. So you guys spend a couple hours searching through Oinkers' of various birds and squirrels and snakes that she's investigating on her own. And you don't find, like, there's no stones. There's no, like, magical artifacts. There's nothing here. I mean, this is clearly...
The game is bullshit!
But, you can tell... this has been... People have been here.
This dungeon is empty.
You guys aren't the...
You
guys aren't the first persons to find this. This place has been mapped thoroughly. It's clearly seen from the road.
Well, okay. Once I see that,
right.
There's signs that people have picked through this, I'm not going to spend any more time here.
Right, exactly. The answer, by the way, are huge blocks of amber. Most of which have been removed, but a few of which are large enough to remain. Very, very valuable. But yeah, the stones were built out of solid amber.
I think you should... Just take a little.
All right. Okay.
You can build something with it. I don't
greedy
know.
Greedy motherfuckers. Oh, my God. Go up and tank. Take a chunk of...
Ground begin now.
I knew it! I was like a golem! No.
Alright, so you take a chunk of amber and you guys are on your way?
Yes.
Alright, excellent.
Now, once you set up camp at night, I have a political question.
Okay, so let's say that you guys get within half a day of the tower and you guys set up camp, because you'll be like right on the coast at that point where it opens up. I would like... You're still too far enough away to see it. Okay, so you set up camp right on the coast. The waves lapping at the shore.
Well, so maybe we'll just let this sort of death...
go death right into the middle of Kedar.
Right in front of us as we make our way and we stop them at Hog's Feet.
Yeah, just take the pilot fish approach. Just follow it behind and pick at the corpses it leaves.
I love this idea.
Except it doesn't leave corpses, it takes the corpses with it.
It brings the corpses and its ever-growing army of death.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Well, but the corpses are like, resources.
You gotta put a stop.
Stuff that people can't raise, like a sword.
It's like civilization, but with corpses. Right. Oh, you need more corpses.
I'm going to, just since I do this every night, I'm just gonna be training. I'm not saying I need to learn a new power or anything, but
sure.
I do want to do my basic training of picking up objects and making little shields and things.
Yeah.
So that
you're being smart.
Keep up with my.
Keep your powers focused. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. No. No problem. You
anything you want to do?
On your watch.
No.
Right. You guys all take the same watches, and again, it goes a little too peacefully. I mean, it's quiet. There's just, I mean, you expect
no birds.
Yeah, more things should be going on. It's just too quiet.
Well, I mean, is there a regular amount of animals responding
to
me?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's animals
so
it's around.
There's an absence
but
of...
But even that, there seems to, things have fled. Whatever came through here, everything fled its path. So, yeah, there are animals here, but everyone's pretty skittish. The ones that are left, there are some returning still.
So they're coming back.
Yes.
They've fled and now
they're
coming back.
They fled and then are coming back.
Kind of like opening the waters to let this.
And now the waters are pouring back in.
Okay.
Exactly. Otherwise than that, the night passes peacefully. So
now we're gonna be stealthy as we enter.
Sure.
We're not just like
Mariano Marti.
Brontosaurus.
All right. So you guys gonna
watch yourself,
practice our light some more.
So you guys are in careful stealth mode.
Now.
Okay. As you head up and you approach Thornhill. Now Thornhill is a large square, very traditional tower. It's just the dwarves built it. It is purpose built. It just is a large tower rising up into the sky. There's this series of wooden platforms and stair and walkways, you know, that zigzag.
I forget what that's called, and it's called something.
Scaffolding?
No.
It's not scaffolding, because it's like attached to the side of a
They talked
a
about
cliff.
It in Game of Thrones behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But whatever. Anyway,
so there's all this like wooden, well, there should be anyway, all this wooden scaffolding that would head down to the small port there that basically is just for this trio of naval ships that they would have assigned here at all times. They're supposed to watch after the pirates and watch for the orcs. As you can approach, you can see a lot of smoke. As you get closer, you can see that clearly the entire place has been devastated and there is no sign of life whatsoever.
Do I see...
Looting village.
Do well, I see...
No. Pillaging has already been done. Yeah.
Do I see the three ships still there?
You'd have to go to the edge of the cliff to see that. You have to go through the town to the edge of the cliff.
Through the town?
We can go around it, I suppose, too.
Well, yeah.
You have to go to the edge of the cliff, though.
I'm not seeing this.
Thornhill is a simple, wide, square tower of stacked limestone whose color and shape are both rather unremarkable. It was established by Kadar during the last Great War in order to keep watch on the savages, their words, of the south. So you will have walked out of the gravelly sandhills and up a sloping wide field that meets a high cliff to the west where the tower sits. Just beyond the tower, a series of wooden walkways, ladders, stairs, and rope pulleys are anchored into the cliff face and allow for movement of troops and supplies up and down the 200-foot drop. From where you are, you can't see the ships. You'll have to go through the town and peer over the cliff to know if they are still there.
They're like over the edge of the cliff and down towards the water level, so you guys have to go over the cliff to see it.
Wouldn't they want the tower to be up?
The tower is way up. It's way up high on the top of the cliff.
And okay, down and below cliff. On the cliff are the docks.
Right, on the other side of the cliff, so you gotta go over them.
So presumably they have some sort of tunnel system to get there.
No, there's a whole thing built into the side of the cliff that they walk down. Yeah, that was the thing we were talking about. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't understand what you were saying. I thought you were saying it was just
like
wrapping
the
around
thing
the,
you guys were ripped. Okay, now I see it.
I thought it was like a dragon for some odd reason.
No, I understand it. Everyone on the same page now.
Yep, I think so.
As you're walking up, you're seeing smoldering blackness, and you're also seeing, you know, smoke wafting around the edge of the cliff, too, so it appears there's smoke down by where the docks would be, too.
All right.
You can't see that yet.
Torvik, Orkers, it's your turn.
To do what?
What do you mean? Turn into a bird. Look around. Or something. You know, something.
Reconnaissance. Oikers is like,
yeah, reconnaissance.
And then Oikers
turns. That's all I am to you, isn't it? Just some large tower.
Okay. Oikers has already saluted and has turned into a bird.
Or whatever you want to be. Figure it out. Be a fish. Yeah. I don't know. Like, you're better at this than me. I can't do it. Only you can.
All right. So it's survey. Okay. All right. Fine. I'll do it.
All right, so you turn to a bird as well?
Yeah, just into
a slightly larger bird.
Yeah,
right?
No, a
little one. All right, so
yeah,
you're a little bird. Oinkers is an eagle kind of soaring. You're a sparrow kind of flitting here and about. And very easily, you guys gain enough ground to see that the entire docks are burned. And there are a pair of ships that are burned and sunk like half into the mud around the docks.
A pair? So there's one missing?
Apparently. That's what it would appear to be.
There's a like a civilization somewhere.
No, I mean everything's burnt. There was, again, just enough resources to basically keep, you know, a few dozen men going.
Gotcha.
So, like, and maybe women. 60, maybe 70. Yeah, yeah. So, and men and women, sorry. And everything is burned. Like, their barracks are burned. The tower is scorched. And roll perception. And you would start to see this, too. So, roll perception as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're on ground level.
23 again.
Yep, so you see it. What looked at first like the whole bottom of the tower, like about 10 feet up all around the edge of it, what looked at first like it was burned is actually dried blood. There's blood all over the grounds as well, and there's clearly blood in, like the main doors have been ripped off the hinges, and there's blood soaking the inside of it as well.
She really likes to spread her artwork, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Blood everywhere.
Very yeah. artistic.
Yeah.
I like the flair. So we're not going in there.
Like you're flying
as well. Yeah, yeah. Recon, come back, like 10 minutes. Yeah.
It's all gone. There's.
So what did you see?
There's two burnt out boats down in the dock.
Two. We knew there were three, so you didn't see a third one.
No. So I'm assuming there's one that got away.
That's good.
Hopefully. The comp or whatever they had, that's all gone. Funny enough, the entire tower covered in blood.
Ugh.
Yeah. Just spread it all around. So I don't think we should go anywhere near that, because that's just bad.
Perception news. While you're saying that.
I agree, Torvik.
Someone agrees with me. Hey, that's new. 11.
Okay, so...
No, don't 14. Forget Paris.
Okay, so... Okay, no, Paris not painted. Paris listening very intently to everything here. So imagine Torvik is where I am. And you're in front of me. And Torvik is like, we absolutely should not go in that. And over his shoulder, you are seeing Oinkers just trot, 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 and walk right inside the tower.
Bye, Oinkers. Bye.
You're not going to say anything? You're really not going to say
Torvik, anything? Call back your pig.
And then you turn.
What are you talking about?
And you see Oinkers.
Torvik!
Oinkers, little butt vanish inside the,
nope.
the tower.
No, nope, no, nope. This is just like that
son
fucking
of
gym.
A bit. All right,
fuck you. No, not gonna do it.
I've already turned.
Oinkers, yeah. Running. Oh my god, yeah,
so you've already turned into a bird, and you've
turned around and ran, started running toward it.
Right, so
I haven't thought
to
turn into an animal, just running.
He's running towards the tower. What are you doing? Actually,
bye, Oinkers and Torvik.
Well, Para is now running after Torvik.
I reach out with my divinity. Clash Para.
Do you really?
No, I get it. You're an ass.
Yeah,
you're an
ass. I know.
I give up. I should have reached out with my divinity and grabbed the fucking pig.
That'd be hilarious.
Squeak!
Scream, scream, scream.
All right.
The audience would hate me.
All right.
Cruelty. You accidentally explode her head and I murder you.
Oh shit. No,
I kill you.
I break your eyeballs.
No, people would start like, you know, mailing me like dead birds.
Yeah, they would. This is what we
since you like dead animals so much.
Right.
So you all say burst into the tower at the same time. The whole inside the tower is just splattered in blood, except for one wall where words have been carved out of the blood. And this is what is written on the wall.
Ooh, we get a fancy picture, everyone.
Gungnolf, Gungnolf, 100 souls take. Gungnolf, Gungnolf, to land forsake. Go north, go north, where poison snakes. Go north, go north, for death awaits.
God's Fall is written, produced, and edited by myself, Aram Vartian. If you want up-to-the-minute information about the podcast, you can follow me on Twitter at GodsFallDC. Special thanks to our good friends at BattleBards for giving us access to their incredible catalog of richly produced sounds. Be sure to check them out at BattleBards.com. And a special thanks to all of our loyal Patreon supporters. Without you, this show could not continue. If you'd like to support God's Fall, get access to exclusive Patreon supporter content, and get episodes of Season 3 before they're released publicly, head over to patreon.com/godsfall. That's all from us this week. We have original maps, art, character sheets, and more on our website at godsfall.com, as well as links to our Patreon account and official God's Fall t-shirts. So see you next time in the world of the Five Kingdoms. This show was produced and edited by Dead Ghost Productions. Find out more about us and all the shows we make at deadghostpro.com.